You all gather into the sanctuary. We're going to get started here in a second. All right. What a good looking bunch of people.
Amen.
I say that in all honesty. You're a good looking bunch of people.
He wants in on the retirement.
You know what makes you beautiful is your smile. Your smile is what makes you beautiful, and that's awesome. Want to say hello to Pastor Jason and Jen, wherever they're at on vacation. Hi, Pastor and Jen.
Hello.
We love you. Wish you were here, but you have other plans. Hope you're having a good time. You're having a good time, so that's our hope. We pray for safe travels back home for Pastor Jason and Jen. And hopefully they've been well rested. Listen, pastoring a church is not an easy job. I did it for 5 years. It was difficult, and I know what pastor goes through. It takes a lot out of you, and so when you're on vacation, just kind of get to chill out and breathe a little bit, and you know. And I bet you right now he's still doing pastor work now, wherever he's at. And he's probably did not stop doing pastoral stuff, and he's thinking about things ahead. And he's so even when you're on vacation, when you're a senior pastor, there is no vacation. It's somewhat vacation. So God bless you, Pastor Jason and Miss Jen. I hope you're getting the rest that you need. Today we're going to talk about the significance of baptism. And reasonably so, because coming up here on July 28th, mark your calendars. We're going to have our church's baptism and picnic at my house. I want to let you know that the pool heater is set at 86 degrees. So if you're a candidate to be baptized, it's going to be very nice. And if you want to stay in the pool and just kind of hang out and swim and all, God bless you. But yeah, the pool is going to be open. It's going to be 86 degrees no matter what. And it's going to be wonderful. But the most important thing is people are going to get dunked. And I love dunking people. I've been doing it for years, a long, long time. And I was fortunate enough to baptize my own mother-in-law. How many people can ever say that? And I promised her, I said, Mom, I said, I will pull you up when the bubbles stop. I promise. She didn't think it was funny. But it was an honor to baptize her. And it'll be an honor to baptize you. So hopefully, if you know anyone that wants to be baptized or you yourself want to be baptized, please let us know. Sign up online and we will make that happen. So the significance of baptism, we find, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in verse 13. We're going to go through verse 17. And the reason why we're going to read this is we're going to capture the event of Jesus' baptism. And I'm going to explain to you three reasons why Jesus sought to be baptized, and we're going to go from there. So if you get to turn to Matthew 3, 13 through 17, when you get there, say amen.
Amen.
You brought your Bible this week, didn't you? Because you know I was going to ask. I'm glad to see, Chad, that you brought your Bible. Good man. If you did not, we have the scriptures up here on the screen. Or you can find them at Bible Gateway on your phone. All right. Verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let us pray. Father God, we are grateful for this beautiful day, the day that you have made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. It's a privilege and an honor to be in the body of Christ today. And Lord, we just pray that, Lord, as we read your word as your word is declared, Lord, that we would receive it with gladness and with joy. Lord, that we would allow it to find its way down into our spirit, into our soul. Lord, that we might be changed and transformed by it. Lord, it's your intention to change us and transform us by your word. And Lord, we pray that it would be received today. And Lord, that we would be able to live it out to your glory. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. So the three reasons that Jesus sought to be baptized. Number one, Jesus traveled, get this, 40 miles from Galilee to the Jordan just to be baptized. If it was a significant and important to him to be baptized, it should be significant and important to us. Three reasons that Jesus sought to be baptized. Number one was to fulfill all righteousness. What does that mean? It means that God the Father had told him, had spoke to him, and directed him to go and to be baptized. So when God the Father says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased," the one thing that we can point to why he was so pleased with him, number one, because he was Son, but number two, because he obeyed God the Father in doing that which God had told him, instructed him to do. In fulfilling the righteous command of God on his life to go and to be baptized and to be an example for the world, that was enough to fulfill the righteousness. What does righteousness mean? Righteousness means is that we're obedient to God in whatever God says to do. God declares that to be a righteous act. So to fulfill, now the first thing that comes to your eyes is John saying, "Lord, I don't want to baptize you. I need to be baptized by you." The Bible tells us that Jesus will come and not only will he baptize, but he'll be baptized by the Spirit. He will baptize us in the Spirit. It's way greater than just the water baptism. But here, Jesus is coming to John, and he says, "I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me." Jesus said, "Let it be so. Permit it to be so. Let's do this, even though I understand and you understand who the greater one is here. But the greater act of righteousness is to obey the Father and to do what he asks us to do." And so Jesus said, "Baptize me." And John did it. So when he was baptized, Jesus came up out of the water and the heavens were open to him. What an amazing event where Jesus coming out of the water after being dunked in the water, immediately the heavens began to roll away and open up for him. Can you imagine standing there being a witness to Jesus' baptism? And I'm quite sure there was a lot of people, a multitude of people. Because listen, a multitude of people were following Jesus everywhere he went. Not only his disciples, but many, many, many other people. And not only that, but the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees were all coming to see what the hoobaloo was about with all this baptism stuff. Matter of fact, John looked at him and said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you of the wrath to come?" So there was a great amount of people witnessing this event. And the Bible tells us that the heavens were open. Imagine standing there in a crowd and the heavens just going like Moses parting the Red Sea, right? And heaven was fully exposed to those standing on the earth. Imagine for a minute that you were one of those people standing there witnessing this thing. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God descended like a dove. It wasn't a dove. It was like a dove. It was a matter of how the descension happened, how a dove would flap his wings and kind of just gently kind of alight on whatever it was sitting on. The Holy Spirit from God descending upon Jesus like a dove and lighting upon him. Imagine being the one to witness this transaction. See, because before Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit did not reside in Jesus. Of course, he was all God and all man, right? 100% God, 100% man. But notice that Jesus did no works before his baptism. He did no miracle before his baptism, right? He never opened a blinded eye before his baptism. He never caused the lame to walk before his baptism. He never raised anybody from the dead before. All these things happened subsequent to Jesus' baptism. Right? The Holy Spirit came and descended upon him like a dove. Imagine being there and seeing that. Now, if that was you, there is no possible way that I could live the rest of my life and not go out into all the world and proclaim what I just saw. Nothing. Nothing could, hail, wind, sleet, storm, like the U.S. mail service, nothing could keep me from delivering that mail. There was news to be had, and I was going to share it with as many people as I could possibly share it with. I witnessed the heavens open. I looked and saw the throne of God and everybody around the throne worshiping Him and bringing Him glory. And I heard His voice say, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." If you ever had a doubt as to who the Son of God was, there was no doubt anymore, because God made it evident, perfectly evident with His voice. Could you imagine actually hearing the audible voice of God in that moment? If I was John the Baptist, I'd be like, "Whoa, what did I just do?" The spotlight was shed upon Jesus and Him alone. And God declared Him to be His Son. And that will forevermore change the history of the world. Why? Because obviously we know what went on after that. That He would live a sinless life. They would go around preaching and healing the sick and the poor. And giving to the poor and all these things. And then dying on the cross for sinful humanity. It all started with His baptism. The first reason was to fulfill all righteousness. The second reason... Second reason was to identify with sinful man. We talked about this morning in our class Bible study, that anytime you see the word "son of man," the phrase "son of man" in your Bible, it means son of Adam. Now, we know Jesus as the Son of God, but Jesus, everywhere He went, spoke like this. He said, "The Son of Man came to heal and save and to set free, the Son of Man," this and this. He referred to Himself as the Son of Man, which means He was a son of Adam, just like you and just like me. What does that mean? He identified with us as a sinful people, even though He was a sinless man. He's the 100% man and 100% God. The 100% man part said, "I need to be baptized." Why? Because I'm going to identify with sinful mankind. That's us, folks. All of us are sinners in need of a Savior. So the second purpose that He was baptized, second reason He was baptized, He said, so He could identify Himself with sinful man. And the third reason that Jesus sought to be baptized, it would be a foreshadow of His death, burial, and resurrection. Think about this when we're being baptized. We're going to probably repeat this if you're going to get baptized on July 28th. We go into the water, right? Full immersion. Full immersion. None of this sprinkling out. Let me stop right there. Like, if you were baptized, if you thought you were baptized as a baby, you had no choice in this matter, right? They may have sprinkled you, whatever. Or if you belong to any other denomination, okay, and they might sprinkle you with water. That's not the kind of baptism we're talking about here. We're talking about full-on immersion into the water, completely immersed, as a form of death. See, baptism shows us there's a death involved. What's the death? The death is to myself. Jesus was proclaiming His death as He is being immersed into the water. He's being buried in the water. His death and His burial are in the water. But when He comes out of the water, we see all kinds of life, because that's His resurrection. And so what He was doing, He was foreshadowing His death, burial, and resurrection, so that we might know that when we receive Christ, that we are also participating in His death, burial, and resurrection. It's going to be the death of the old sinful man that I used to be, and the resurrection of a man that He created me to be. Someone say amen. You're not the same as you used to be when you receive Christ. When you receive Christ, you receive His righteousness. It's imputed upon you through His salvation power. Now, listen, we all make mistakes. Right? We're all still sinful man, but we now have a new nature. We now have something that we did not have before, and that's the righteousness of Christ imputed upon us. And so we can identify, those who are sinful can now identify with the sinless. Someone say amen. Amen. That's what he came to do. So when he went to John to be baptized, he's fulfilling all these things, right? And he's foreshadowing his death even before it happened. God confirmed all this by opening up the heavens, pouring out the Holy Spirit upon Jesus, and pronouncing aloud, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now, he uses a word here that I like to use, considering us. Beloved. Beloved. What's that mean? It means he's supremely loved. He is the apple of God's eye. He is my beloved son. He could have just said, "This is my son," right? We have sons, we have daughters, we love them. But he went the extra mile. He said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Do you know that when you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you now become part of the beloved? This is my daughter, my beloved daughter, who I am well pleased. This is my beloved son, and who I am well pleased. God can say that about you now, as well as he said it about Jesus. What an amazing event in the life of Christ. What an amazing event for anyone who was witnessing that. And so when we are baptized, I ask you, bring some witnesses. Because guess what? They're going to want to see what happened to you. They're going to want to see you identifying with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection in your life. So Jesus himself made baptism significant. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. You know, I told my wife this morning I forgot my watch at home. But I got good news for you. I got a clock on this iPad. Yes. That's good news for you, because if not, I would not be able to know what time it is. Oh, wait, it's on the screen too. That's good news for you. Listen, like last week, I'm gonna make you a promise. I'm going to try to get it done. I'm going to try to get it done by 11:45. I promise you. Hey, there's power in the trying, you know. Jesus made baptism significant. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20 says this. And this is after Jesus had died, was buried, resurrected, and getting ready to ascend to heaven. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." We talked about that this morning. Authority. He has authority not only in heaven, but on the earth. He said, "Now go therefore," he's speaking to his disciples, "go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Now Jesus is speaking to those people who he spent 3 years with discipling, and he's saying, "I want you to go out, and I want you to preach my name. I want you to preach salvation. I want you to preach repentance. I want you to preach that that the Son of God has come to save, seek and save that which is lost. And when you do so, I want you to make disciples out of them and teach them all the things that I've commanded you." And one of those things that he commanded them was be baptized. He commanded them to receive Christ, receive salvation by faith through grace, but through faith by grace. But then after that, he wants them to be baptized. He's commanding them, make disciples, teach them, baptize them. So Jesus made baptism significant, not only when he did it, but also when he transferred that to his disciples to go and also make disciples. So in here, Jesus declares his authority. He said this. He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Everything. You remember back after Jesus was baptized, the first back there in the first part we just read? Right after that, the Spirit of God drove him in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat. He did not drink. He did nothing but meditate upon the Lord, right? Right? And the devil came and tempted him. He said, hey, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these things. Look at this earth and everything in it. I'll give it all to you. And Jesus said, well, he said, get behind me, Satan. He said, get behind me, Satan. There is nothing that would take Jesus away from his mission to seek and save the lost, right? So in this whole thing, I lost my thought. Jesus declares his authority. Listen, I know where I was going. Heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. The devil said, I'll give it to you right now. Jesus said, not before I go to the cross. Because my Father has given me that authority. When I go to the cross, Jesus is saying, when I get there and I defeat death, hell, and the grave and sin, he said, and then my Father will anoint me with that authority both in heaven and on earth. At that point, I get it. And listen, how many times do we try to rush things? Right? We get something in our sights. We want it bad, right? I got to have it now. Instead of waiting for the right thing to come along, the right moment to come along, the right opportunity to come along, and everything will work out itself, we try to rush it, and this is what the devil wants Jesus to do. He said, he didn't let Jesus know that he knew he was going to have all authority. He said, I'll give it to you right now, right? Jesus said, that's not my purpose. That's not the plan of God. Get behind me, Satan, right? All authority, both in heaven and on earth, belongs to Jesus. And they said, go and make disciples and baptize them. Disciples get baptized out of obedience to the will of Christ. Jesus was, listen, let's go back. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. What pleased God? Jesus obeying the voice of God. What's going to please Jesus in your life? Obeying the commands of Christ. Obeying the voice of Jesus. In the disciples' lives, in the people that they win to Christ, what's going to win out for them is listening to and obeying the voice of Christ. So it's important for us to be sons and daughters in whom God is well pleased. Why? Because we're doing what God told us to do, and that's to be baptized. Baptism of believers now replicates the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we said earlier. Now listen. Baptism does not save you. Let me say that one more time. I'm going to say it for the people in the back. Baptism does not save you. Baptism is always subsequent to salvation. What do you mean, preacher? I'm glad you asked. Because we cannot get baptized until we have made a declaration, both in our heart and with our mouth. The Bible tells us if you believe in your heart and declare with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. It doesn't say if you believe in your heart and you get baptized, you will be saved. It says no. It says believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, salvation happens, and then you get baptized. There's a story in the Bible of one of the disciples named Philip. And Philip was instructed by the Holy Spirit. This is after Jesus' resurrection and ascension to heaven. Philip was told to go to an Ethiopian eunuch who was in a chariot. He was on his way to Jerusalem to worship. Philip and the Holy Spirit told Philip, go and overtake this chariot and speak to this man about Jesus Christ. I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember exact words. But Philip comes upon this Ethiopian eunuch and he says, what are you reading? The Ethiopian says, I'm reading Isaiah. And he was asking, Philip, he said, who is this talking about, this man or somebody else? He said, Isaiah, this chapter, this verse is speaking of Jesus Christ. And from the Bible says, from that moment, he began to share with him the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that through that you can be saved. And so this Ethiopian eunuch says, well, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip's like, I'm glad you asked. He said, if you believe in your heart, you can be saved. He didn't say you believe in your heart and go get baptized, right? He said, if you believe with all of your heart, you may be saved. And he said, I believe. And so that thereafter he believed and confessed with his mouth, they found a body of water and Philip went and baptized him. Here's what I'm trying to say to all of us. Baptism is not salvation. Baptism is what you do after you receive salvation. After you're born again, you obey the command of Christ and be baptized. And it's a significant thing to do because Jesus did it. It's a significant thing to do because Jesus commanded it. It's a significant thing to do because it is an experience that you'll never forget the rest of your life. We do communion once a month. Typically, people get baptized once in their life. And they do it when they believe. Not, you can't do it when you're an infant, because who can believe when you're an infant? Now listen, good intended parents, God bless you. God bless you, good and well intended parents. We dedicated both of my daughters, well, actually the oldest one. We skipped the second one for some odd reason, but both of them were baptized when they were probably 12, 11, 12, something like that. But they believed. They were old enough to know Jesus Christ. They were old enough to believe upon him. And therefore, they were candidates to be baptized, and they wanted to be baptized, and they were baptized. And it was awesome. I'm going to go back to me and my wife. And I'm thinking it was back in 96, if I'm correct. 1997. Nope, 97. 97. I remember.
It's your story.
It's my story. And it was cold. It was October. And it was, what was the lake? Brady Lake. Oh, my Lord. Like Algae City, right? If you went into Brady Lake, there was moss and algae and all kinds of stuff. And you feel like one of them monster things, whatever. Creature from the Black Lagoon or some daggone thing. Anyway, so her and I decided we were going to get baptized. We were excited about Christ. We were excited about our new life in Christ because the old life was such a torturous thing. But the new life, when Jesus came into our lives and healed us, saved us, delivered us, and freed us, the next best thing was to do was to go out and get baptized. So we got baptized together. I wholly recommend, if you're a husband and a wife, get baptized together. It's an experience you'll never forget, right? So once we were dead in trespasses and sins, we were no longer on that hamster wheel. We were now fully immersed in Christ, but now we got immersed together, and it brought out the absolute best in both of us. So, again, I lost my train of thought, but that's all right. The baptism of believers now replicates the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's where I was at. Baptism always follows salvation. It is itself not salvation. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I don't know why I'm so scatterbrained this morning. I know. It's the watch. And according to this clock right here, I got another 12 minutes. All right, here we go. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. And you he made alive. Everybody say me.
Me.
There you go. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And the spirit... Hang on. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom... Also, we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like the others, just like everybody else. But God, everybody say, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even while we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in the kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And here's the line right here. You guys ready for it? By grace you have been saved through faith. and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Let me say it again. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not through baptism, not through water sprinkling, not through any ritual. By faith, through faith, by grace, you have been saved. And that not of yourself is a gift of God. Thank you for the gift, Lord. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship. I stopped at 9. All right. Not of works. What's baptism? It's a work. Works don't save you. Faith saves you. Grace saves you. God gives us the grace to receive the grace. That's the truth. And he'll hunt you down and he'll knock on your heart's door all of your life. And a lot of the times we choose to reject it. We say, no one's at the door. We're going to ignore that. Right? But the one time you decided not to ignore it, you said, I'm going to open this door and see what's going on. And you received Christ as your Lord and Savior. It was the greatest day of your life, the greatest experience of your life. Nothing compares to the day that you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it was not that we got baptized. It was that we believed in our heart and confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what saved. It's faith. The believing in your heart is the faith thing. We are saved through faith by grace. God gave us the grace. We believe by faith. We were all dead in trespasses and sins. No one likes to hear that. Well, I was a good person. I'm a good person. Listen, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Filthy rags, the Bible says. Our righteousness can't get us out of a wet paper bag. But the righteousness of Christ can. And the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. I'll say it again. When we believed in our heart and confessed with our mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. God made us alive and together with Christ. You were made alive like that, like a lightning bolt. One moment in your life that you were once dead in your trespasses and sins, the next moment you were alive in Christ and will be alive with him forevermore in eternity in heaven, both here on earth and in heaven. Listen, our salvation starts today. The day you receive Christ is the day that your eternal life starts. So eternal life starts here on us earth and goes on with us in the heaven. And that's awesome. He made us alive together with Christ. We are saved through faith by grace. No amount of works will ever get you saved. Salvation is a transaction that is made between heaven and you. Nothing in this world can stop it. Satan can't stop it. Earthquakes can't stop it. Typhoons can't stop it. Whirlwinds can't stop it. Nothing can stop it. Why? Because it's something that God connected with you personally and said, this one is mine, this is my child, this is my beloved and who I am well pleased. Amen. Welcome in, good and faithful servant. He said, I welcome you into the kingdom. I welcome you into the citizenship of heaven. A transaction made by God himself. We could not do it on our own. There's no amount of goodness that you could produce to ever fulfill enough righteousness to make salvation happen in your life. Nothing. So I said all that to say this. Baptism is not salvation. Baptism is an outward experience of what's going on the inward reality. An outward showing of what's going on the inside of you. An outward expression of your faith that is a walk in obedience to Christ so that the world can see that you indeed are in him and he is in you and you are inseparable. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Baptism is awesome. If you'll come to the music, I got 6 minutes left. I'm going to get you up here ahead of time. I got 6 minutes. I can say anything I want. And you got to sit there and listen unless you're asleep. I see there ain't nobody sleeping right now. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. In concluding this, if you have not been baptized, sign up. Get baptized. fulfill the righteous call of Jesus Christ on your life. Right? Be baptized. If you can at all possible, get baptized with your spouse. It's an amazing experience that you'll never forget. And something that will tie you two together for the rest of your lives. We get baptized because we are saved. We don't get saved because we're baptized. A preacher used to say, you'll go in a wet sinner, you'll come out a wet sinner. You can identify with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection all you want in the water. But until you receive Him as your Lord and Savior, you receive a gift from God. Until that happens, you're going to be a sinner no matter what. We get baptized because Jesus modeled it. It was something that Jesus did to fulfill all righteousness. And we should also do the same. We get baptized to identify with Jesus in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is a resurrection of life. You have gone from death to life in an instant's time. And everything that you could ever obtain from heaven is now yours. The instant you become born again, the instant you receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Finally, we get baptized as an act of obedience to the command of Christ. If I'm talking to you this morning, if you yet to be baptized, do yourself and everybody else a favor. Come to the baptism. If you can't come to this baptism on the 28th, tell me, I'll schedule another one. Because we want to get you baptized. You're not getting baptized into this church or that church or this or that. You're getting baptized into the kingdom of God. You're declaring yourself to be a part and a member of the heavenly people. That's what we are. Heaven's our destination. This earth is not our home. We're just passing through. We're just passing by. Right? The amount of time that you're going to spend in eternity in heaven compared to the time that we're going to spend on this earth is vastly, vastly much, much more. So what decision we make on this earth will determine where you will spend eternity. If you have yet to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have yet to receive the gift of God, which is salvation in His name, let today be that day. Let the words that are coming out of my mouth go into your mind, into your brain, but let it not stop there. Let it work its way down into your soul. And let your soul dictate to you, I need to get saved. I need salvation. I need the forgiveness of sin. I need a new destination for my life because the old destination isn't going to do me very good. I need to get there. If that's you this morning, we're going to open this altar in a minute. And I want you to come and I want to pray for you that you might receive Jesus Christ. And that the moment you do, I want you to understand you are now a son or a daughter of God. And you are well loved, you are beloved, and He is well pleased in you. And it is the gift that keeps on giving all the rest of your life. No greater decision that you could ever make. Let's worship.
Praise that song, my How precious is it that grace of me beyond my thirsting. My chains are gone, I've been set free. I've got my Savior as ransomed me. His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
We are not saved by our parents' faith. We are not saved by our brothers' or sisters' faith. We are not saved because we have Abraham as our father. We're not saved by any of those things. We are saved when we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who paid the price on the cross for us. If you have yet to receive Christ, I want to implore you to come this morning. I want to pray with you. Tanya wants to pray with you. We'll pray with you. We want you to receive Christ. If there's anyone that would come, let him come now. Come now before the devil talks you out of it. And if you have a hurt in your body, if you have a pain, if you have a struggle in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, whatever it may be, we want to pray with you. This altar is open for you to come. Would you come?
The Lord has promised good to me. His hope, my hope, secures. He will my shield and fortress. As long as I live, my chains are broken. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Amazing love, amazing grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy seen me. Abandoning love, amazing grace. Like summer, the sun to shine.
Is there anybody else? Anybody else?
And Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul? Blood of the Lamb, are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul, in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed? The blood of the
church, I want you to welcome Natasha and the family. I'm not trying to embarrass her, I just want to welcome her. As she received Christ as her Lord and Savior today, what a great and awesome thing that you've just witnessed. So again, July 28th, the baptism, be there. And then the picnic, we're going to eat food, we're going to swim, we're going to do all those fun things. It's going to be a great time. We love you. God loves you. God bless you. As our prayer, you just listen.